not here today, and according to the National Assembly Rules 130 subsection 1, we have to elect a chairperson to preside over this meeting today. So I'd like to call for nominations. Honorable Mashwana. Can you speak on the mic, please?
Thank you. I elect the incumbent Linda Moss.
Can you second it? Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Rafael. Honorable Moss, could you please come take the hot seat?
So, Honorable
here?
Second year.
So then we must continue then. Who will take us through the who will take us through the presentation? The DG. DG, I forgot to ask that everyone who are here must introduce themselves, but we, I think we are coming along with, we are like a family. I don't know if over this the procedure of Parliament that you must do it over and over and over. So DG, I will allow that, then you will introduce your team, and then because I know you think you know the members, why the four who are here.
Thanks, Chair. Just to quickly introduce the team here. In the back there is Ms. Kasamba, colleague of one of the deputy ministers, parliamentary officer. In front of him is Sam Matlanda, who is the minister's parliamentary officer. And next to me, Chair, we are presented today a briefing on the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill. And this is the outline of the presentation. And we'll go rather quickly on through this bill. By way of context, the Constitution gives certain language rights to citizens which must be honored through language policy and legislation. There are different things. Certain basic minimum standards that should be met by all languages. African Language Practitioners Council, and to provide for the objects, the powers, duties, and functions of the council, to determine the manner in which the council is to be managed, governed, staffed, and financed, to regulate the training of language practitioners, and to provide for control of the accreditation and registration of language practitioners. I think this is it's an extremely important, the control of accreditation and registration of language practitioners is an extremely important provision legally, because if you look at professions that are part of the built environment, if you get an engineer who signs a certificate or who signs an approval or whatever, they have got a particular cover for third-party damage in case something happens based on the advice that they have given, the expert advice that they have given. And it's important that we are able to spread that kind of assurance and that kind of legal protection to other professions as well. The same goes with the medical profession and other professions that are legally regulated. We want to do something which is similar, and the basic underlying premise behind it is public confidence on the services that are offered by professionals in languages. Now, the objectives of the bill, proposes that the South African Language Practitioners Council be established as a juristic person in the sense that it can sue and be sued in its own name. And its core functions are to regulate the training of language practitioners, to provide for control over the accreditation and their registration, to provide for matters incidental thereto, like advising the minister on matters affecting the language profession. In addition, the South African Language Practitioners Council will prescribe the rules governing the conduct of language professionals and the procedures for compliance, monitoring, and enforcement of the conduct of practitioners. Now, the object of the council now. The objects of the council, as stipulated in the bill, are identified as to promote and protect language practice in the Republic. Currently, anybody can provide language-related services, whether or not they are qualified to do so, whether or not they have the necessary expertise to do so. And the risk there is that you could act on false information based on an advice that you are given by somebody who does not have the necessary competence to provide that advice. And that's a very real thing. If somebody translates a document and mistranslates it, a lot of things can go horribly wrong. And this happens in contracts, it happens in all sorts of things, because we do not have that kind of protection of language practice in the country. To register people who are deemed registrable by the council, to accredit people deemed accreditable by the council, to scrutinize particulars of people intending to register, to develop, implement, revise, and amend a code of ethics relating to the conduct of registered language practitioners, as well as to protect practitioners' professional interests. What comes out of the bill is a dual protection. One is the protection of the language practice. It's the protection of the users or the consumers of that service, but it's also the protection of the professionals themselves from exploitation of various kinds. To also protect the members of the public who make use of the services provided by language practitioners, to provide for efficient and effective language service to members of the public who seek services of the council, and to provide and encourage the provision of opportunities for persons, especially people from disadvantaged communities, to enter and participate in the language industry in the Republic. And the council also advises the minister on matters affecting the language profession. Now, the provisions of the bill, in addition to the objects of the council, The bill also details the composition and appointment of the board of the council by the minister. The council is a body to which all language practitioners would belong to, and it's managed by a board. That board is appointed by the minister responsible for language affairs, which in this case would be the Minister of Arts and Culture. It also provides for the appointment of the chief executive officer by the board in consultation with the minister. The appointment of the CEO is the responsibility of the board, but the board has a responsibility to consult and agree with the minister on such an appointment. To determine the code of conduct for language practitioners, to accredit practitioners by the council, the funding of the council, which is going to be monies appropriated by cabinet, by parliament, as well as monies raised elsewhere by the council, keeping of registers and removal and restoration of registers. The register is people who are registered or who are accredited, and if there's a reason to remove people and restore them, as the case may be. It's important to have this, because if I want to have somebody to translate a document for me, I need to be able to check if that person is registered with the council, is a member in good standing of the council. So that gives me an assurance that the work that I get from that particular individual is of good quality. And then, of course, there are general provisions. The key stakeholders in relation to the language industry are obviously the Department of Arts and Culture, particularly through the National Language Service, the Departments of Education, as well as the Council on Higher Education, and in departments, it's both the Department of Basic Education, as well as Higher Education, and Training. The Department of Basic Education, because it teaches language. The Department of Higher Education also has a responsibility around the teaching of languages, but also the Council for Higher Education has got a responsibility in relation to qualifications that are in languages. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, the Pan South African Languages Board, as well as all its structures, its provincial offices, as well as the lexicography units and the other structures that are related to PANSALP. The South African Qualifications Authority, which is the one that grants the accreditation of the qualifications, as well as the units that make up a qualification. The Commission for the Protection or Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities. And in particular, in relation to the linguistic rights of communities, particularly those communities whose languages are under threatened by extinction. The South Africa's Translators Institute, which is a voluntary organization. It's not a professional accreditation institute, but it's a voluntary, it's a club through which sort of lobbies for the rights of people that work in translation services. The South African Applied Linguistics Association, the African Languages Association of Southern Africa, the print media, television, radio, advertising companies and businesses, public entities and enterprises, as well as the National Treasury. And some of the other stakeholders who were consulted in the preparation of the bill. It's PANSALP, it's the DG's cluster, particularly the social cluster. This was presented also to the Technical Committee for Arts and Culture, which is a structure of the DG, as well as the heads of the provincial departments, as well as MINMEC. The SAQUA was also consulted, the Translators Institute, the Department of Justice, both departments of basic education, as well as higher education and training. Academic stakeholders, the National Language Forum, the different legislatures, SALGA, National Treasury, as well as the Department of Public Service and Administration, as well as the CCRL Rights, the CCRL Commission. The current status of the bill, the bill has gone to cabinet and it was approved by cabinet. It has been certified by state law advisors. It was also gazetted for public comment, and now the bill is being brought to the to parliament for processing. Chair, that's the presentation which you thought we would do. What we had said in the package of documents that we had sent, we have sent the copy of the bill in English, that has been attached, as well as the different memoranda, the memorandum on the objects of the South African Language Practitioners Council bill. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Members, there is the presentation. Any questions for clarity or Honourable Van der Berg?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I've got a couple of issues. I just want to, at the end, the DG said that the English copy of this bill is the official copy. But I'm only asking, due to the importance of this Practitioners Council bill for all the language groups in South Africa, I'm just wondering if this can be made available in the official languages. Because I think this is just not just another bill we're working with. We have to reach out to the different communities. And I can say to myself, if you just present this in only in English, do the government send out the correct message to language groups in South Africa? This is only a question. Because I think we must be very, from Parliament side, we must be very, very sensitive on this language issue. And as we all know, language will also be a very, very sensitive issue. I just want to put this and highlight it, that we must actually pay attention to this part. I've made a couple of loose ideas. You know, this is to provide the establishment of the South African Language Practitioners Council. So it means there must be a council that looks after the state of affairs or whatever. But I think what is important now, there must be, for instance, language boards. I know there's an Afrikaanse Taalraad, and I think there's also an official board for English. And I think for the other, some of the other black languages, Xhosa, Zulu, academic institutions that look after the welfare of the language, I just want to find out from the department side if all the official languages in South Africa has got a, let's call it a regulatory body that looks after the affairs of the language. Because I think otherwise the South African Language Practitioners Council will be something hanging in the air. You spoke about legal protection. Now, I can state to you that I can translate, for instance, one sentence in a couple, a few dialects of Afrikaans. Which one is the correct one? I'm actually sure if we go to the chairperson's home there in Saldanha, there's a certain dialect of Afrikaans that has been spoken there. In the Makwaland of my friend here, the Afrikaans sounds different as the Afrikaans where I grew up in Gauteng. So which one is the correct one? You understand what I mean, and I'm sure I'm not I've got a knowledge of the black languages, but there's certain ways in saying things. What is not necessarily wrong, But in certain spaces you use this dialect or call it a register of that specific language. So we must also look at that, because this is not only just a legal thing. It's right or wrong. It's not so. It's purely my view against your view. It's all about interpretation. And then the position of this language practitioners council, the position. For instance, there's the minister, then we've got all the entities. PANSAP is one of the entities. If you look at the organigram, is this language practitioners council, do they report to PANSAP or do they prescribe for PANSAP? Just to get a feeling. So, who gives the final stamp of approval? I've spoken to the different dialects in the in the registers. I just want to get back to the language boards. I think the language boards under this new practitioners bill will play a much bigger role than in the past, because they were there sort of, call it informal, to organize the state of affairs of a, of, for instance, the Afrikaans language. In Afrikaans we've got a woordelys in spell reels, meaning all the list, a list of all the words that you can use in Afrikaans and the way you spell it, the woordelys in spell reels. So that gives a sort of, call it a legal background, if you want, for that specific language. So what will the role of the language board be? Can it prescribe to the practitioners council or vice versa? I'm not sure about that. And when the minister appoints the members of this, I'm sure it must be put out in the bill. I haven't read it carefully enough. So will this portfolio committee have any say in listening to people, or does this sort of function go to the language boards and they propose certain names to the minister and then will appoint them? And what will the cost for the practitioner be to be part of this language practitioners bill? And you also mentioned on the key stakeholders, the association African languages and the print media and advertising business. I think this is very important, because most of the advertisements we hear on radio and read in the papers are written originally in English. And what we hear in the black languages is merely translations of the English, and especially also it happens in Afrikaans also. So for instance, if I hear a advertisement on a certain product on radio, can I call the advertising authorities and say, and bring it under the attention of the language practitioners council and say, this is very bad, I'm not going to buy the product, but it's not good for my language in the way it has been put forward. And then I just want to ask, in the way this bill has been presented, will it just go the I'm not sure, is it the 55 or 56 bill? So do the National Assembly only has the final say, or do also go to the NCOP? Because I think the NCOP involvement will be very, very important in this bill, because there's a lot of provincial, regional interest in this bill, because of the diversity in most of the languages in South Africa. So I think NCOP must play a very, very important role, so that they can take a viewpoint on the on the language used by the people staying, for instance, in Namakwaland to make sure that their interest has been protected. Thank you, Chairperson. There's only a couple of ideas I've got in the beginning. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Van der Berg. That's why we are elected for to come to give our son of Yama. Honourable Swana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions I wanted to ask already covered, but I will be following. The first one on provision. You talk of provision of establishment, but you also tell us of the objectives, which are good, but I don't see any time frames. The objectives.
Yeah.
Because if you come with the objectives, maybe we should know that by this particular day this would have happened. I'm checking on that one. And the second one, your key stakeholders, you say they include. And there are those who are not maybe very important to be mentioned. Because I would want to argue that once you talk of stakeholders and pick up a few and say include, it means there are other stakeholders that not know and would like to know, unless if it's all of them, because the word including to me may be misleading. It means that there are a lot of stakeholders. Could we know all of them? The next one, you see, languages. The bill should be in all, I think that's why I said it was said, in all our official languages. Not necessarily, my understanding is that all 11 languages in South Africa are official. So not official language nationally. We don't need any national about it, but official languages of this country, so that a vendor person somewhere can be able to read this. I'm not even vendor. I just picked vendors because I love them. They are humble and very good. A Xhosa speaker must be able to read this. Just to give you an example, so that we would love to have all these languages, the bill in all languages. And then there's a translation dictionary. That I saw someday when I had to debate, I needed a translation dictionary. I borrowed it from one office. I know where the office is. But I've not seen it in any shop. I believe the Department of Arts and Culture can check for us that the dictionary of all 11 languages, you know, it's such a nice dictionary. And all those things, Moloni, such that once we can have that, it will assist us, at least for the members that are every day dealing with this. I'm humbly saying, please make it your business to get us that dictionary. And if you don't know it, I'll talk to that person, to that office. I think it's a certain Mr. Makam office very close to mine. And then lastly, is this not a repeat copy of the bill? Okay, your provisions of the bill, that's chapter 3-8. I don't know what I wanted to do with this, but I've written that. You can make sense. Thank you.
Mayor Skarsik, are you covered by the other speakers?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I've been fully covered. Thank you.
DJ, I'm just curious on the issue of it. You say the bill will make sure that they will create jobs. And what type of, what type of skills did you mean? On your translation? Is that the one you're referring to? And only on the practitioners? Is that what you're also about translation and those people who write books and stuff? Is it referring to that one? Because when we said about job creation, we must be clear what kind of job creation, so that we not duplicate some of the skills that we want to develop. As I was saying 2 weeks in a seminar of Transnet, I said these key skills, we're talking about it from since the last 10, 12 years. Even when Pumzile Ncube was the deputy president, she was talking about Askiza and those type of things. But still today we talk about skills. and those things is not yet even, we don't even address the issue of skills. That's why I want to be sure and clearly on that one. I just was bringing in the secretary's ears and saying that, you know, the most time I saw the constitution of South Africa is mostly in Afrikaans and English, is where we must make sure when it comes to translate, documents or booklets, especially the constitution, is the most important booklet that every citizen must receive in it in his mother tongue, so that they can understand what is the constitutional rights and why did we have democracy in South Africa. I mean, that's for me a very critical one. But I hope and I trust that I don't hear about, you see, when the labor section talk about, if you refer to the labor department issues, they talk about labor inspectors. Who will inspect, or make sure that this things that this bill is talking about, it is really materialized? Who was playing that oversight role? I mean, you know, DG, you can be everywhere, and your DDGs cannot be everywhere, and the minister cannot be everywhere. And us as MPs, yes, we must play our oversight, but we are not everywhere. Who will make sure that this, what this bill said, was really happening? Because if you talk about accreditation, you can remember when higher part of the skills was with labor, maybe before 2009, when the skills and stuff was in, was there was no higher education department, it was falling under labor. And a lot of funny things was happening in the issue of accreditation for those who must give in the training. So that's why I'm saying, who will be the policeman or the inspector on this issue to make sure that the people who will be receiving the accreditation, they are really, really equipped and be really, really, because we can't play with languages in the future again. For me, I feel this body is very important, DG. Doing the implementation, but is the how and who and when and all those questions coming up to me as the Honorable Goswana was raising on the issue of time frame, because we can't let because our terms are finished. Yes, we don't just want to push a bill and the bill go through, and at the end of the day when I sit one day on my doorstep and sitting with my grandchildren and then I say, now this thing, is it really my legacy that I leave behind? Oh, that is not actually doing the justice to the people of South Africa. So that's what I really want to see, that justice must prevail on the issue of our people be transformed in their own languages. And if I want to read the book, I can read the book in my own mother tongue. Those are the things that you want to see. Not the foreigner people go there, take our history and our books, and they translate it there in their country, and at the end of the day when they come, the books come back, they sell for high prices. So over to you, DJ.
Thanks, Chair. Let me respond to a few of the questions, and I'll ask my colleagues to help you. Maybe as a general comment, the role of the council is to do a couple of things. One is they ensure that the quality of education. If you go to the University of Stellenbosch and you attain a qualification in language practice, they ensure that qualification is accredited. So that's the first role they play. The second role then is to accredit an individual
who has that qualification or who has the experience. I think it's important to distinguish between those two things, because the role of professional counsels, all of them, revolves around those two functions. Over and above that, they then deal with if somebody has a complaint against a function or a service that has been provided by a professional, then they come to the council and the council will investigate and they will make the decisions whether was the service properly rendered or not, and under under certain circumstances they will deregister a professional or do whatever. Now, that is the intention of the council, is to provide those kinds of things. The council does not develop language. The council does not decide on the correct usage of the language. The council registers professionals who are taught at university or in other institutions of learning how to do that. I think it's quite an important role to play. I mean, it's an important distinction to make there, because you don't want the council, which is a professional council, to be developing the language in the same way that the South African Institute of Accounting does not decide on accounting methodology. Their job is to accredit accountants and to ensure that accountants do their job properly. I think it's an important sort of point to make right up front. Can the bill be made in all official languages? I don't think that would be necessary. Be a problem. But obviously we've got to submit the bill in the languages of the parliamentary business, and that is what we're about to do. But yes, it can certainly be made available in all official languages for ease of access to all South Africans. Colleagues, can I ask you to comment on some of the questions?
Good morning, honorable members, honorable chair. I think DG has made a fundamental point about what the council, the language council, is and what it is not. But be that as it may, there are some specific questions that still need to be responded to. I think the very first question by Honorable Van der Berg has been responded to, the one of making the bill available in all official languages. I was saying DG has actually made a very, very important and fundamental point about what the South African Language Practitioners Council is and what it is not. And that is very important because it covers most of the questions that have been raised. But nonetheless, there are still some specific questions that have been asked. One was by the Honorable Member Van der Berg, of which DG has covered it also, because there is no problem. The bill can be made available in all official languages. And the issue of the boards, the language boards, right, you are right. We right now, there are language boards, of course. Like, for instance, the National Language Board is for all official languages, including sign language. I think you are aware of that. But at the same time, as DG has indicated in his response about what the council really is, you know, there is a fundamental difference, because the council has nothing to do with the development of the language, but it's just, it has got the specific functions and objectives as stated. The issue also of the legal protection, the issue of the dialects and all that. Well, that's true. In each and every speech community, there are dialects. That's just a linguistic phenomenon. You cannot avoid the issue of the dialects and all that. But again, that is not the specific job of the council, you know, because it has nothing to do with the development of the language or the how the language should be spoken and all that. But it's more about those issues that have been highlighted, the accreditation, the registration and so on, and the protection and all that. But there has always been no problem throughout the whole world. Dialects are there in every niche and every speech communities, but as to whether that causes confusion or not, it's a matter that is understood by the people who speak the language. But at the same time, in as far as the council is concerned, they will not be getting into that. What will be important for them is to check whether the person who is a language practitioner has got all the credentials, necessary qualifications, and so on. And then, with respect to the cost, Honorable Van der Berg, there was a, what you call a business case for this bill, which was done some few years back. But the intention then, you know, when it was done, it was, there was a thinking that it was going to happen immediately. But of course, these things do not happen immediately. So the quotation was that it is going to be like 30 million for a period of 10 years. And that 30 million was mainly, for the period of 3 years. And that 30 million was really for the setting up of the council, because the understanding is that once the council has been set, is set up and is fully functional, then the fees will also, over and above the money that may be appropriated by Parliament, will be registration fees from the people who are registered. They will pay registration fees like in every other professional body. And then I think the issue of the NCOP, which again I think we agree is very important. It just depends on whether this has to be classified as Section 75 or 76. But that is a matter really for the legal expertise to decide on that, to say that this should be 76 or should be 75, and then therefore it has to go to NCOP. And I think, Honorable Mushwana, about the objectives and the no time frames, those are the general objectives, really. It's not like something that has to happen now from now and end at that time. So for it's something that is supposed to be there, you know, so it's understandable that if they have to register people, they have to accredit people, they will always do that as soon as they are functional. And then, of course, also the issue of the key stakeholders. You are right about the key stakeholders. The key stakeholders, we're mentioning only those that we think are really very important. Other than that, I think the list is very long. It can mean any other department, for that matter, is still a stakeholder. Even people in business, you know, the business sector, not only just government, everybody is like, every organization is a stakeholder. But we're mentioning just the key stakeholders in the presentation as mentioned by DG. And then the translation dictionaries. There is a whole lot of language material in many organizations, in education, other organizations that have anything to do with language, because some of these are study material, some of these are intended to assist people to understand languages and so on and so forth. So the translation dictionaries, definitely there should be quite a number of them in many organizations, not only in the Department of Education, because they have got a specific purpose. Of course, it's part and parcel of language development. When you develop language, you develop language through the development of material for the languages. So that those materials are materials that will still be used by the language practitioners, that are used even currently by the language practitioners. So, and the Honorable Acting Chair, that will create jobs, what type of jobs. Of course, it's correct to say that once we establish the language units or all the government departments have language units, it means they will need skilled people to work in those language units, to do the translation, to develop terminology, to do every other language-related work. But of course, the main skills that are currently needed, you know, especially in some of the government departments, is translation and so on and so forth. But that does not exclude other what to call language skills. And so by creating jobs there, what that means, in fact, the connection between that and what this bill is proposing is that we're going to have people who will be working in those language units, but as language professionals, they will be accredited. Don't just be a matter of anyone who says, I can speak this language, and then therefore I'm fit to do this job. But then this professional body, which is the Language Practitioners Council, will say, this one is fit to work there in a language unit. This one is not fit to work in a language unit. Yeah, I think I will allow Dr. Sukumane, my colleague, to add some of the things that I may have left out.
Thank you, Chair. I think much of the questions have been answered. I just wanted to go back to the oversight question, who is going to play oversight over this, and how is it going to be possible to make sure that the work is followed and probably monitored and evaluated, and who do they account to? I think that we have enough of legislation now. We've just passed the Language Act, which together with the PENSALP organization, accountable to the Minister of Arts and Culture, the issue of oversight over language matters has actually been addressed. And I think with the Language Act, we can be sure that work related to this will be followed. But again, I think the clarification has come through from the DG and Dr. Joanne to say this is a juristic body that only takes care of a certain function of the language work that we do. So in terms of accountability and everything like that, their function may not necessarily fall under what we're expecting to in terms of what we do in language development and advocacy as covered by PENSALP, protecting the rights of linguistic communities. And PENSALP, of course, has all the structures to make sure that language development is happening as it should, and that standardization in terms of dialects and all those things, those language bodies exist for that, to make sure that we spell correctly, we do everything that we should the right way. So those issues are actually covered. I think that's it.
I think we don't have, is there follow-ups? There is some tea there also, Jabu. There is some tea, honourable members outside. Honourable Father Bear, Mr. Franskan, you want to hear that? Yeah, and then Honourable Muswana will close. Honourable Franskan, please.
Yeah, maybe I must speak and then my colleague Yena must speak and then you will hear the difference in our voices. Maybe that will make it clear. Yes, thank you, the DJ and the other members of the department. I'm very sure about the role of this language board, but maybe I must just rephrase what I've meant in the first round. I just want to hear from the DG. Did you agree, DG, that the
the language boards of the different languages in South Africa will play a very bigger role in future. You know, it's like having a language professional board or whatever, and there's no, you've got a legal body, but there's no advocates or lawyers in South Africa. So, for instance, you have to have the underbuild, I think the underbelly of this whole thing is the languages in South Africa and the language boards that has to look after each language. And I think what is very important in future, will there be a drive from the Department of Arts and Culture side, maybe I can use the word, to promote languages. And I'm sure most of you will remember in past years, you read in newspapers that people say, don't go and study Geesteswetenskap, you know, like Afrikaans or languages, you will die a slowly death. When I was in university in the 70s, Afrikaans and Nederlands was one of my main subjects. And people said to me, are you stupid to study a language? And it's like this till today. It's people not interested in studying languages. And I think that is the wrong thing. And I just want to hear from the department if they are trying from government side to promote languages. Because we are so fortunate to have this wonderful language in South Africa, but we have to promote it ourselves. Other people can't promote the languages on our behalf. Everyone has to stand father for his own language and to promote it, etc., etc. So I think this is very important, that the Department of Arts and Culture and the Minister from government side must play a big role to make sure that the language boards are in place. And we must put another sort of kink or emphasis on developing the interest in languages among youngsters and make them proud of their language. The chairperson is not here, but thank you, Secretary, for the time.
Until she comes back. So that if you need to check something from the chair, you can try to check through. Thank you. My follow-up question, I think it's a follow-up question. Do you have lexicographers in the castle? Because I think if we can start from there, we'll be talking of them in the provinces. Just that only question. Thank you very much. And I forgot when I asked the first question to thank you for the presentation. I mean, you have presented and we didn't thank you for the information that you put in front of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I'll throw my question. It's just on the PANSAR board. We had the interviews during the last term. DG, do you have any indication when the board will be announced by the Minister? Thank you.
Then DG can respond. Oh, before DG, the legal, was he want to say anything? Okay, then I can give it to DG.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe let me start with the last question about PANSAR. We have been informed that the council, the portfolio committee, has done the interviews. There is a recommendation which has been sent to the minister. I must confess I have not seen it. The chair informed us about it. I had requested that it be sent to me as well, because we are also quite anxious for the minister to announce that board as soon as possible. So I will speak with the secretary so that we can get that documentation urgently and we can go ahead with that. The role of the language boards, yes, the language boards will continue to play an important role because language boards, like the South African Translators Institute, they play a lobbying role, they play a development role, and they are important. And it's not uncommon that you will have a legal profession which is responsible for the regulation of the profession, and then you will have other boards that play a lobbying and a development role, and that will continue to happen. There are also, let's also remember that there are other institutions which are part of PANSAL, like the lexicography units. I think we've got about 12 of them, if I'm not mistaken. We've got 12 lexicography units which are based at universities right across the country. Most of them are based at universities. Some of them are standalone institutions. And then we've got also the LN and national language, the bodies. And so all of these are going to continue to exist. The boards, the lexicography, the language bodies and the lexicography units continue to operate within the ambit of PANSAP. And the council is going to be a standalone institution because of its regulatory functions. That's it, Joanna.
Just one about the lexicographers in the council. Just to say that is a specific detail. What the bill so far covers in terms of who should be appointed to the council is that it must be people who have got appropriate knowledge, experience, and skills in the language industry. So that is covering it broadly. So when the time comes for those who will be responsible for appointing the people, we'll consider that as a requirement, that the language people with skills in the language industry is a requirement. And that, of course, the other skills listed in the bill are legal skills, public finance management, audit and risk management, communication skills, etc.
I think the one other question was in terms of expanding the advocacy on languages in terms of, I think, awareness, just to respond to that value in studying language. Also, how far we can go in terms of the development itself. I think that in this past 2 decades, the work has really been not so fast. But when it comes to language development, you are expecting to actually not see language study only, but you want to also see a really prolific work in developing of grammars, revisiting your orthographies, prolific literature production, and all those things. Now, I think we have been struggling in the past few decades with exactly how you get the work done, where it's sitting and how it's done. But we are expecting that work should expand along those lines in terms of growth, and also the advocacy should be stepped up. And it all ties in, I think, with the budgets that have been given to language. It has really been a constraining factor, and I think Parliament is tired of hearing that, but it is a truth. So in terms of how the thing can grow, it is massive. We are expecting that it should. And I think that one other thing that went really terribly wrong, I think, was the measure of these universities in terms of the lines where some universities actually lost that part of it, the significance of studying languages, not just languages, philosophy, history, literature, in favor of, you know, computers and all those things. So we're looking to Parliament to think about that, maybe help in redirecting
the view, because the vision is still there.
I think we come to the end of this presentation of today. But I was thinking, DG, and also department, on the issue, we're just better addressing the issue of translation of other countries like, the Africa continent. Especially when it comes to economic development issues. Make example, when you're receiving a document from Mozambique and that document is in Portuguese, I don't have a clue of Portuguese, but the person who communicates with me, he communicates with me in his country's language. Well, but we are now in South Africa. Will this, how will this, but also maybe speak towards it on the issue of, on the issue of translation and on the issue of practicing. I mean, it's sometimes very difficult for those people in TG when you must maybe learn the Matola rate. Whatever, those people speak the Portuguese.
Yeah.
I just raise it for interest sake, because I'm curious.
Yeah, I think.
Because I saw Obama also, he came here and he sent some of his diplomats to. That country, to those other countries while he's in South Africa. And I said to myself, I wonder how do they communicate over there. There's somebody next to them who will always go along with them.
Maybe to respond to that is just to highlight the current status with respect to the translation of languages that are not spoken in South Africa or that are not South African official languages. The National Language Service already offers that service of translating documents that are written in Portuguese, Arabic, any other language that is not a South African language. We do have those services in the National Language Service. But with the expansion, of course, of the language units that DG spoke about earlier, it means then those services are not only just be confined in the Department of Arts and Culture, they are going to be all over where there are language units. But also, over and above that, the fact that there is going to be this council, which is going to ensure that the people who are working in the language units are qualified to do that job, then it means also the quality of the translation that will be offered will be very much advanced. So I think all these things are sort of interlinked, so to speak. There is a great opportunity of enhancing the quality of the translation services and also to make sure that the translators are available. But of course, we all know that over and above, the bill or the intended council is merely intended to offer the services for the South African languages, but that does not exclude languages that are spoken in some other countries, because intercommunication is inevitable. It will always happen anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG and the colleagues and the department. It's very interesting. I mean, and yes, we must move forward as South Africa. And I like that when you came here, DG, remember, it was now 2 years ago, of a year ago. 2 years ago, you said, I'm here to make a change. I'm not buying your face, but I must say really that you really showed it to make a change. You bring you into DDGs, bring the bills to us. I mean, last year we deal with the African language project, and this year we're dealing with this bill. So at least really in the 2 years you really mean it. So it's a pity that our term come to the end of next year, April of May of March. I don't know when it is. We will hear when the president they announce it. But I was saying that without legislation you can't move forward. And you're dealing with the most very important ones. Because when you talk about languages and those restrictions, you're dealing with the people's lives. Because if I don't understand a language and somebody is speaking to me, I'm totally lost. That's why I never get lost in 2010 in November, a day before my birthday in Paris, in France. We was in the shopping mall and my colleagues leave me behind. And the people speak their language, and those people are friends, they refuse to speak in English. If they want to speak their language, they speak in their language, and they are not compromised on it. But it's very important when you come in a place to observe, how did you enter a place? So you know how to escape out. So that few words, thank you very much. I think we have a lot of work on our shoulder to pushing this bill through, but we must do it properly. We don't have the hours and to getting things to complete something and you don't do it properly, and then you're actually robbing yourself. So I will speak to those members who are not here. We will not reverse. They must really capture by themselves when they come into the next portfolio committee. And they must read into their own work so that we're not stuck and move backwards. We must move forward. Because I was found by the new chief whip. We have now a new chief whip and deputy chief whip. And saying that they want to know, it's not just about politics, but to know because of the time frame that we are in, because we are our term for the 5 years finished next year. So, and I think, honorable members, if I'm right, we will be, the house will be raised, this year, maybe in October, because we're going for election campaign, for the election. So, that's why we must, what is on this program, we must stick to this program and not actually moving backwards. Those who don't attend, they must just go back and ask for the secretary, the minutes of the portfolio committee and the documents and just check what was discussed, what was the outcoming, and where they can fit in. So that we can fast track this process, DJ and colleagues and members, so that we can really move fast and smoothly on the issue of this bill. Thank you very much, colleagues. I think there's coffee and tea outside for those who want to have a snack before they're leaving, because it is cold outside. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Excuse me? The register, otherwise this meeting will not be valid if we don't sign that addendum register. But the Honorable Van Scalpe?
No, Chairperson, I was just going to ask, are we going to do some minutes or not?
We will
just
not
have tea and then leave, or should we come back?
We were not dealing with minutes today because we are only the four members. And the other thing is that you did receive the program for July till September. So there is coffee and tea, Mrs. Pascal, they said. After you go to actually enjoy, then you can leave the yeah.